Amen. Standing today for reading the scripture, if you wouldn't mind. I'm not going to read a lot, but I'm going to read a verse from 1 Kings, chapter 9, verse 10. And we're going to take our learning point from there. 1 Kings, chapter 9, verse 10. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Solomon built two houses. He actually built more, but these are the ones we're going to talk about today. Solomon built two houses. And I want to talk today about building the two houses. Your house and the house of the Lord. As long as we are in the process of life, we are in the process of building the two houses. Amen. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. I brought a special guest with me today. I'd like to introduce you to. His name is Bert. He's right down here at the foot of the pulpit. He's the red one. Bert came into my life in Canada after his predecessor was run over by my motorhome. So Bert has been with me since the 90s, and I like Bert. We get along real well. Bert has some very precious contents. As a matter of fact, many of the contents, and perhaps most of the contents that are in Bert here today, came from my father. I inherited these tools, many of them, from my dad. And so for that reason alone, they're very special to me. When Sister Tammy was talking about getting something special for fathers, you know, fathers always love tools whether they use them or not. You don't have to use a tool. You don't have to even know how to use it. It's a tool, for goodness sakes. You don't even have to know what it's for. It's a tool. It's a man thing. So if you don't know what to get somebody, get him a tool. Amen. You don't have to know what it's for. He might not even know, but that doesn't matter. It's a tool. And everybody loves tools. And if you've ever worked on anything, you don't have enough tools. I don't care how many tools you have. You don't have enough. Now, I know ladies don't understand that. But then again, you hadn't worked on the stuff we worked on. You get to working, and sooner or later, you're going to run into something, and you're going to think, if I just had. And then you're going to think about, I could put that down in there, and if I moved it like this, and you just, if I just had another tool, if I had one that was longer or shorter or a little more broad or a little more narrow, there's always a place for more tools. And so you have lots of tools, but you never ever have enough. When you build something, first of all, you got to have a desire. If you don't want to build it, you better not get started. The Bible calls it, it talks about a man that built a house. And he said he needs to count the cost first to see if he's going to have what it takes to finish. Because if he doesn't have what it takes to finish, he's going to become a laughingstock. Because people are going to laugh, because they're going to see an unfinished project. And they're not going to be happy. And his name is going to become a mockery. And so before you ever start a building, you need to count the cost. Yeah. Amen. Before, young man, you ever decide to get married, you better count the cost. Yeah. Before you ever decide to have a child, you better count the cost. Yeah. Amen. And Somebody said that you know a father because he has pictures where his money used to be. That's one definition of a father. They laughed at me at Bible college. They said every time my daughter came by, my hand went to my back pocket. So I guess that just comes with the territory. Amen. But you got to count the cost, and then you got to have a plan. If you're going to build well, you better have a plan to build with.
That's right.
Amen. I've seen some projects that obviously they didn't have a plan. If they did, it was very poor plan.
That's right.
Amen. But the greatest plan that you'll ever have is this one right here.
Yes.
Amen. This is God's plan, and this works.
Yes.
You can build a life. As a matter of fact, it's the greatest foundation to build on that there is. Because this book says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You're not going to find anything better to build on than the word of God. It's going to be there. It's going to be secure. It's going to stand when everything else is shaking. Because the Word of God is steadfast. Amen. When you build, there are certain things that you need. You need a toolbox. You need Bert. Amen. Now, building has gotten so much more complicated today. Now you've got to have a lot of toolboxes. I know. This, ladies, y'all don't understand that. But you need a general toolbox.
Yeah.
And then you need a carpenter toolbox.
Yeah.
And then you need an electrical toolbox.
Yeah.
And you need a plumbing toolbox.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to have all kinds of toolboxes because you got to have tools for everything.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find them in one big toolbox. So when you're getting ready to do one kind of job, it's good to just have Bert, you know, general for stuff, and then you've got Ernie for another one, and you got all kinds. So you got to have all kinds of toolboxes. The first thing that you're going to need when you start building is you're going to need some measuring tools. If you try to build without a measuring tool, you're not going to get very far, and it's not going to look very good. I mean, eyeballing will just take you so far. You need some measuring tools.
Right.
Amen. You need something to see exactly what size that's going to be. Amen. And you go over it and you get your measuring tool and then you measure it and you find out exactly how wide it needs to be. And that's when you get ready to use some of the other tools. But first you got to start with a measuring tool.
Yeah.
Amen. You constantly have to be taking measure in your life.
Yeah.
Where am I? Now it's okay to start out little. Just don't stay little.
That's right.
It's all right to start out with flaws and imperfections, but just don't stay there.
That's right.
Take a measure. How am I doing? Am I making some progress?
Yeah.
I may not be there yet, but at least have I grown since last year? Amen. And am I making room for the right things in my life?
Right.
You need your measure. You got to have some measuring instruments in your toolbox. Because you're going to need to do some measuring as you go along here. And you're going to need some measuring instruments. And then you're going to need some shaping instruments.
Yeah.
Because I promise you not everything's going to fit. Well, you can tell what kind of carpenter I am, right? So you're going to need some instruments that shape things, and I got all kinds of stuff here, and I got files and saws and this one here, you know, is for cutting tubing and stuff like that, and so you can make it fit, and this one here is for shaving things when you just need just a little bit cut off, and so you got all kinds of shaping instruments, and you need all of those when you're building. Because you're going to find out that when, even though you have a measuring instrument, then you got to have something to make it fit. You got to have some shaking. You need to cut it a little bit. And after you get it cut, and you need to make sure that it fits just right. And sometimes it lacks just a little bit. But you got to be careful. One guy said, he said, I cut it off, and it's still too short. Guess what? The more you cut, the shorter it gets. Never will fit. So you got to make sure when you measure right when you cut. Now, a good rule is measure twice, cut once.
That's right.
Measure twice, cut once. You see, measuring is important. Know where you are. Know what you need. Know what you need to do. And then shape it.
Yeah.
Amen. We are in the business of shaping our own lives. And if you're a father, you're in the business of shaping the lives of your children. Amen. That's quite a responsibility.
Yeah.
I hate to waste materials. You look at my house, and I got a couple of junk piles there from the project I'm involved in. I know I need to move that stuff, but there might be something good there. You know, I hate to throw away, you know, the right tube. But I'm the one just the right size. I've already got it. Why go buy a new one and cut it up?
That's right.
You know, so you just, sometimes you have to put up with some stuff. I might say, put up with some stuff. If you're going to build, you got to put up with some stuff.
Yeah.
Everything's not going to be just perfect.
That's right.
Everything's not going to be in its place.
That's right.
You're going to put up with building. You're going to have to put up with some junk sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one thing I've learned about builders, and I've worked with a few, is they hate to clean up after themselves. They don't mind making messes, but they don't like cleaning messes.
That's right.
Amen. If the sawdust gets too deep, they'll just move over a little bit and keep sawing.
Yes, that's right.
But if you're going to be a good builder, you've got to learn how to clean up after yourself.
That's right. Amen.
There's a lot of cleaning up that goes on in life.
Yes.
Amen. Because we all make messes. Amen. Your children are going to make messes. Your wife's going to make messes. Woo! It got quiet then. Did I see the sparks fly? Woo! I made a connection. May have been a cross connection, but it was a connection. Amen. So you gotta have some shaping instruments to get things in shape if you're going to build this house. And then you've got to have some drive. Amen. If you don't have any drive, you're in bad shape. You need to get something's got to get you out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
That's right. Something's got to keep getting you out of bed in the morning. Amen. Laziness just won't cut it. You can't build a house being lazy.
No.
You can't build a house for you or one for God being lazy. You've got to have some drivers.
Yeah.
You've got to have different kinds of drivers. Now, this is just one hammer. It's a very generic hammer. But again, you've got to have lots of different kinds of hammers. People just don't understand. They don't build, but one hammer just won't do.
That's right.
Somebody said that if the only tool in your toolbox is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So some people go through life just swinging. Yeah, man, that's all they know how to do because everything looks like a nail. That's the only tool they've got.
That's right.
Amen. So you need to broaden your toolbox if that's you. Quit swatting stuff. Quit hitting things. Amen. And so, but you need drivers. You need hammers, and then of course, if you're going to do that, you got to have some of these little Allen wrenches because they'll drive Allen headed things, and then you got to have screwdrivers because you got to drive screws, and there's just no end to it. You always need a different tool because these are drivers. These drive things that hold things together, nails and screws and nuts and bolts. They're what hold things together. Amen. And if you can put it up there, but if you don't nail it, and you don't put a screw in it, and you don't put something to hold it together, the Bible talks about a nail in a sure place. And did you know that you got to strategically drive nails and screws? You can't just put them in there anywhere. And you've got to find out the right size. If you've done very much carpenter work and you use the wrong nail, if it's too big, it'll split the wood.
That's right. Yes.
It's got to be the right size.
Oh, yes.
Amen. One size doesn't fit all.
Uh-huh.
When you're dealing with a family and you're building a house, doesn't matter what somebody else did, it may not fit your house. Well, that's the way my folks did it. Well, that was with you. Maybe you needed it. But yours is different. Amen. There are some things that it's got to be, it's got to be right. It's got to be the right size. It's got to be the right time. It's got to be the right place. If you're going to be a builder, you got to be, the Bible talks about Jesus said being a wise builder. So there's fasteners that you use to hold things in place. And you got to have some drivers to put that together. And then you got to have, I thought this is a neat word. I've always liked this word, wrenches. Is that a neat word? West Texas, we called them wrenches, but you couldn't tell the difference in a wrench and, well, a ranch. But wrenches, you know, they're good all kinds. This is one of my favorites because you can adjust it to fit all kinds of stuff. But not everything needs an adjustment. Some things need specific sizes. You know, you got to have, these are size wrenches. You got, these are closed in, then you got open in, and now they got these fancy ones called ratchet wrenches. I don't have those; they're too expensive. And my dad didn't have any of those in his toolbox. There's all kinds of wrenches, and some, you know, you need to be adjustable sometimes. Hello. You can't get so static. That this is all you got right here. And if this won't do it, bless your heart, it won't get done. This is good for things that are fixed.
That's right.
But sometimes you need something that's adjustable.
That's right.
It just, you know, it's just off just a little bit. And guess who's got to do the adjusting? My dad was a pretty good adjuster. He knew how to adjust attitudes. I mean, he could fix my attitude right quick. He knew how to straighten it up. Amen. And he used different kinds of adjusters. Sometimes it was just those icy blue eyes. That was enough. But if that wasn't enough, he had some other adjusters. And they worked very well. Amen. I looked up the word. You know what the word wrench means? It means to twist or to turn violently. And I've got some scars on my knuckles and hands that just show how violent it gets. If you've done much wrenching, and you, I mean you're pulling it, you're really getting with it now, and it's going to slip. And when it does, you're going to find out how violent it was. There's going to be blood and sweat and pain. Amen. Sometimes you got to pull pretty hard on some things in life. Some things fit so well. Some things you have to adjust. It's not easy. Nobody said building a house is easy. I mean, it looks good and it looks easy until you start doing it. But when you start doing it, you find out it's not easy. When I helped my brother-in-law build a house when I was very young, and he left me there to build corner posts of the house. And he came back after a while, and I had a big old pile of nails on the ground, bent nails. He said, you got them all done? I said, no, sir. I said, I'm still working on the first one. And he said, the first post? I said, no, the first nail. It was either the hardest wood or the cheapest nails. I'm not sure which. But I know it wasn't the carpenter. Couldn't have been me. Yeah, he loved that story. And I think he embellished it a little bit, honestly. That's the way he told it, not the way I told it. But if you're going to build, you got to have some wrenches, and then you got to have some finish tools. So it comes time to finish everything. You know, the finish is what makes you look good. It covers the blemishes. Amen. It makes everything else look good. That's what painters do. Painters are miracle workers. They cover up everybody else's flaws.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't know what's... If you've ever... Well, have you ever tried to hit a stud in a wall? You know, you measure 16 inches and that's where it's supposed to be. That doesn't mean it's there. Because the guy doing it may not have had any adjustment wrenches. He may have had his measuring tool off. He didn't do it right. He just may have been lazy and not putting one in there at all. You never know. But the painter comes along and he's a finished man, and so he's got all kinds of finishing tools. You know, he's got his scrapers and he's got his all kinds of instruments, and he's got his brushes and he knows all kinds of things like caulking and stuff that hides holes and great stuff. Aren't you glad for great stuff? That is great stuff.
Yeah.
And so you find stuff you can spray in big cracks and all kinds of stuff to hide the blemishes. Somebody's got to do the finishing. So if you're going to build a house, you got to have a lot of tools. It takes a long time to do it. Amen. We're building two houses. Like Solomon, we're building two houses. You know, it's very interesting. The Bible says that Solomon built the house of the Lord in 7 years. Now, if I understand it right, everything in that house was pre-cut, pre-assembled. They built it off-site. And then when they moved it there, everything fit perfectly. And it was the most ornate and beautiful building on the face of the earth at that time and perhaps in all of history. It was a breathtaking, beautiful house. Solomon built the house of the Lord in 7 years. Then you go a little bit further and you read, and it says, but he was 13 years in building his own house. Isn't that amazing? It took him almost twice as long to build a house for Solomon as it did to build a house for God. Did you know God's not as picky as you are? God's a lot easier to please than you are. One reason is because he doesn't have a wife that keeps changing her mind. Oh, I don't know why that slipped in there. It just did. Boy, this is dangerous, isn't it? So whoever said preaching was safe business. But, no, that's not why. God's perfect. He just never changes. God, he knows what he wants, and it's always that way.
That's right.
And God is easy to please, honestly.
Yeah.
It's easy to please the Lord. It's not hard to please God. But we human beings, we're never satisfied. That's why Solomon could never finish his house. He built 13 years on it. And he still wasn't satisfied. How many of you completely satisfied with your house? It's just like you like it. You don't want nothing ever added to it. Nothing changed. Oh, no. My brother was a builder, and he was a good one. For many, many years, he was a builder. And he taught me something very valuable. He said, you go down and you buy floors that are guaranteed for 25 years. And in 5 years, you want to change them. So, what's the big deal about 25-year floors? When are you going to change them in 5 or 10? But you see, in our mindset, man, I'm going to build this thing. It's going to last forever. And then in 10 years, you're so tired of it, you want to change something. Amen. So don't get too worried about colors and all that stuff. You're going to change it anyway in a little while. So. Shake your head like this. Quit looking at me like that. Yeah, like this right here. You're right, Brother Grissom. That's me. You're reading my mail today. That's true. Amen. Praise God. Now the ladies are grinning. Y'all ought to be because you're the ones that want all the changes. Because up to us, we'd still be in caves. Amen. So you got to have all kinds of instruments. Solomon, it took him just 13 years. And he built his house and he was never satisfied. But that's us. You see, it's easier to build a house for God than it is to build a house for you.
Right.
Amen. But you see, there's a lot of building. I'm still working. If you don't like Johnny Grissom now, the 2011 model, you wouldn't have liked any of the earlier models for sure. Because this is new and improved, believe it or not. It looks old and decrepit, but it's not. It's the new and improved model. It's just all the improvements are on the inside. Where you can't see. Amen. But we're constantly building. And we've got two houses, Brother Hart, we've got to build. Amen. And everybody needs to build two houses. You need to build a house for yourself. And then you need to build a house for the Lord. Amen. And I want to build a house. And it's not so hard to build a house that God will live in. Isn't that amazing? It's hard to please people. My brother built houses for more than 40 years, nearly 50 years. He was a builder. And I mean, he built all kinds of houses. And it was really hard to please people. Really hard to please people. I'm trying to build one for myself, and it's hard to please me. Amen. And I have to be honest and just say that it's not hard to please my wife. She brags on me and tells me I've done good. So thank you, babe, for putting up with it. I know it's not all good, but nonetheless. Amen. We've covered it up now. Brother Fry helped us get the mistakes covered, and it's pretty good shape. And we'll never tell. Amen. So don't ask. Amen. Just, we know where the flaws are. And I know where the flaws are. Amen. I know where they are. So when people boast on you and brag on you a little bit, it's okay to say thank you, but just don't forget where the flaws are. You know where they are. Amen. Praise God. It's one thing to, you know, to see the preacher in the pulpit. It's another thing to live under his roof. Don't be too shocked. It's not the same under your roof either. Hello? Amen. Praise God. Now we and you should. I want you to be good at church. Please be good at church. Please be good at church. Because this is where you're supposed to be best. And if you got flaws here, goodness gracious, if you lower the standard for church, how in the world are you going to be at home?
That's right.
I mean, this is the best you get right here. And if you lower how good you are here, then Katie bar the door when you get home. Amen. Praise God. The word profane is an interesting word. It means something in the temple. So a profane word is a word that you wouldn't use in the temple. A profane word. There's language that you wouldn't use in the temple, so why use it anywhere else? So then the idea is what I would do in the temple, that should be my standard for life. If I would not behave like this in the temple, then I don't need to behave like this outside the temple. I need to be the same in my home, and I need to be the same in my job, and I need to be the same at the party, and I need to be the same on vacation, and I need to be the same every day, everywhere I go. And that's the ideal. Now, I understand there's an ideal, and then there's reality. Amen. But nonetheless, we got to keep striving because we're building. We're building. I've learned in building is that you can correct things. If it's not right, sometimes you have to tear it up and start all over again. I've done that. Sometimes you just scrap something and you say, that didn't work, and try something else. But you got to keep building because we got to build this house. Now I'm in closing. It's not hard to build a house for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter said, ye also as lively stones are built up in spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Ye are lively stones. You know what a lively stone is? If you've ever done any building with stones and you've ever watched a mason can take a brick and he scores it with a tool. He cuts a little notch, just a shallow notch, and then he taps it with that trowel and that brick. If it's a lively stone, it'll break cleanly. And it can be adjusted, it can be shaped to make it fit where it needs to go. That's a lively stone. But if it's not a lively stone, then when he hits it, it'll crumble. And it can't be shaped. It won't. It's not something that can be, it's not malleable. You can't shape it. You can't make it to fit it. It's just integral. And so it's important today that we be lively stones. And when the Lord gets ready to do some shaping, you have been shaped? You have been cut on in the house of the Lord? Amen. And the Lord comes and he does a little scoring. Scratches you real good and real deep. Oh! And then he rears back and he gives you a good smack. Oh! He's making you fit something. Because you are part of a spiritual house. You see. Isn't it interesting that the church is not here to fit you? I hear people sometimes say, well, I'm looking for a church that fits me. Keep looking. You're on the eternal search.
That's right.
Amen. The Bible does not teach about churches that fit you, but it teaches about you fitting the church.
That's right.
And we're supposed to fit in. The church is not supposed to accommodate to fit us. Amen. Because we're a spiritual house. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you. And I'm not nearly through with this, but I'm going to quit. So, amen. We'll do building part two a little later on. Amen. But I read a story some years ago, very interesting, about a man, a good man called him in. And he gave him a sum of money, a rather large sum of money. And he said, I want you to build me a house. And the guy got to thinking. He said, you know, he said, I've already got all this money. He said, and if I can build this house a little cheaper, he said, I'll have some left over for myself. So he started building the house and he started cutting corners. You know, when he built the foundation, he built a little cheaper than he would have because he left some things out. When he got ready to do the framing, he left some boards out because it would stand without them. And when he got ready to do everything he did, he cut some corners and he left some things out and he bought some inferior materials and he finished the house. And he had some money left over. And he went to the man and he said, sir, he said, now, he said, your house is finished. And the man handed him the keys and said, the house is yours. He said, you live in it. It's yours. You live in it. Well, he knew where all the flaws were. Isn't that true in life? The Lord has let us build his house, but we have to live in it. So if you're cutting corners, you got to live in it. If you're using inferior materials, you've got to live in it. You choose how you're going to build the house.
Right.
Your decision.
Right.
Amen. It's your decision. The Bible says that we're laying up treasures. We're sending building materials.
Right.
Amen. I wonder what our mansion's going to look like. If it's made of the things that I'm sending ahead, and I'm choosing how it's going to look, and I'm choosing how it's going to be built, and God will only use what I send, what kind of a mansion am I going to have? Amen. We're building houses, folks. We're building two houses.
Yeah.
We're building one to live in here, and we're building one to live in over there. And so, it's up to us. Let's build carefully. Let's build wisely. Amen. Let's build scripturally. If we'll do that, we can have a house that'll always stand. Let's stand together.